A thank you to our pianist. Denise does such a great job. You can almost see the love of Christ coming through that piano as she plays. It's so great. We're proud of her. Thank you, Denise, for always being there. Thank you, Brother John. The bass, the choir. Today, you just worship. And it's because of these guys that we can do it so well. And I thank you for the team that Brother John leads up here on this stadium. And I would like for you to say, give them a hearty amen. Yeah, we love you guys. You did a good job lifting up. And so we have a men's quartet now. That's outstanding. Outstanding. So thank you, guys. God bless you. The Declaration of Independence was adopted on July the 14th, 1776, in Philadelphia. All of you remember that from your history, right, in school? All right. The day the U.S., United States of America, officially became our own nation, one nation under God. We declared our independence from Great Britain, remember? Before America was its own country, it was comprised of 13 colonies established by Great Britain. The first colony was settled in Jamestown, Virginia. That's right, in 1607. The 4th of July wasn't celebrated as a holiday until 1870. Y'all remember that? You don't remember it. It was made a paid holiday in 1941. They used to read the Declaration of Independence during their celebrations. So what do we do today? Well, we have fireworks, and they started early this year, true? And we have a big picnic celebrating our independence, freedom in America. I want to share with you one paragraph, and I'll quit, okay? This is preamble to the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are, say it with me, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Is that true? That's what Brother John put on the board, so I knew I was okay. But that's what it says in that preamble, and that's what we stand for in America. Everyone has the right to life, freedom. True? You know what the devil's mission is in our world? It is to kill, steal, and destroy. Don't ever think that Satan isn't real and that he doesn't have an agenda. The first thing he wants to do is to destroy our families. Then he wants to destroy the church. And then he wants to destroy your government. You see any of that happening? If you see it, that's where you want to aim in your prayer life, okay? So does Satan want to kill, steal, and destroy? Does he want to destroy our homes? Did he want to destroy our churches? Did he want to destroy our nation? Yes! Can we see that happening around us? That's why we need to pray now more than we ever have in our whole life. Pray for your country. Pray for your nation. So I just want to throw that in as we celebrate our independence as American people. It's the land of the free, the home of the brave, the place where a people can go and worship God in freedom and not have to be worried about being persecuted because you've done that. What a great nation that we live in. We must constantly pray for our nation. All right, so if you would take your Bible and turn with him to 1 Kings. I want to read some Bible verses there. They'll be up on the board. What I'm going to do today is really interesting. I'm going to read a couple of these Bible verses with you, and then I'm going to tell the story, okay? You're going to go to Sunday school this Sunday, or did this Sunday, and you're going to go next Sunday. If you didn't go this Sunday and hadn't planned to go next Sunday, may I please invite you to come to the greatest Bible experiences you're going to have at Oak Crest Baptist Church as you go into those classrooms, and you will get an intensive on what I'm going to tell you today. Last time I got to preach, I shared with you from 1 Kings chapter 3. Today, I'm going to share with you 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'll continue to do some of this because I want you to know what we're learning in our Bible studies on Sunday morning at Oak Crest Baptist Church. We have the greatest professors in these Sunday school classrooms that you've ever seen. If you don't know that, then I would invite you to please come and visit those classes and just see what's available. And I want to tell you this because I've been in lots of churches and I've been in taught by lots of teachers. And I know that there are some great ones here at Oak Crest. So if you're not in Bible study, learning God's Word in these classes with great teachers, I like to call them professors. If you want to, you can call them rabbis, but they're professors, okay? Go listen to what they have to say. You will be blessed. So I'm going to give you a little synopsis of what's in those in that lesson in 1 Kings chapter 18 that's coming up next Sunday, I believe. So you will be able to see and get an intensive on that. So I just want to tell you that. Now let's take God's word in 1 Kings chapter 18, and let me begin reading in verse 19. You'll see the handwriting there on the wall behind me. Now therefore, please stand with me as we read God's word, and I may not have dismissed the kids. Are they going out today? They already gone. Okay, I missed them leaving. Sorry. They're our blessing, and we don't want to miss them. Okay, looking at verse 19 of 1 Kings 18. Now, therefore, send and gather all Israel to me on Mount Carmel, the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. Verse 20. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people answered nothing. They didn't want to say anything. So they didn't. Father, help us to learn your word today. Teach us how to walk with you just as close as we possibly can. Bless our nation, our country, our homes and our families, our churches, as we stand together, proclaim who you are. And may we never lose that freedom in America. Thank you for our nation and those who even serve today to fight for our freedom. Thank you for those in the armed services, and bless them good. Give wisdom to our leaders in our country, especially in the White House. Help them to learn and know you, that they would make decisions based on what you tell them through their prayer life and through the study of the word that they do. And if they do not, and they care not to learn what you have to say and lead our nation by what you have to say, may I ask you, Lord, remove them from office and let us have a nation and a country that turns their hearts towards you, listens to you, and leads our country accordingly. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I want to remind you of something I shared with you the last time I got to preach, and that is it's always a matter of the heart. And so God tells us constantly, walk with me. If you will take my hand like a child, and you're going to lead that child across the road, and that child is about 4 or 5 years old, you're the parent, and you reach your hand out like that, and you say to your child, take my hand. And you take that child's hand at 4 or 5 years old, and you walk that child until that child is at least 21 years old. Yes, I know they're grown at 18 according to them. But according to you, Mom and Daddy, when are they really grown? When do you want to release that hand and let them go? Never. And so that is God with you and I. I'm inviting you. Take God by the hand and walk with him. Listen to him as you walk. Let him guide every step you take, and watch for what only he can do in your life. Oh, how you will be blessed. I want to read or share this story with you about Elijah. Where did Elijah come from? When we watch the Bible, we don't see a lot about Elijah. We just know that he came. And we know he was one godly man and had some great advice. Not only was he godly, but he was brave and bold to come up against the leadership of the nation, who didn't want to trust God. And so he said, I think what we need to do here is get some things straight. So he says, I want you to gather all Israel, and we're going to go up to Mount Carmel. we get up on that mountain, I have some things that I believe that God wants to show you. And so he gathered all the people. Sometimes I think maybe Elisha had a little bit of Baptist in him because he wanted to have a meeting. Baptists like to meet and they like to hand out information. And that's exactly what Elisha was doing. What was he doing? Meeting and handing out information. From where? From God. Best information you'll ever get. So here he goes. Gather all Israel to Mount Carmel. Gather all the prophets of Baal. Gather all the people of Asherah. Gather whoever you can, but let's go to Mount Carmel, up on a mountaintop where they can see and listen and hear what's going on. I want them to be able to see what God has to say. I want them to be able to see the power of God. Folks, the main thing in his heart was to do exactly what God told him to do. When he prayed and when he met, it wasn't to gather so much a crowd, even though he needed a crowd because they needed to listen, because most of the crowd that he was going to speak to was the people that was worshiping false gods. And this was Israel we're talking about. This is the people that God called out and made his. It would be much like you and I if we wanted to talk to some really good people. We'd call our church together. But this was just bad ones and good ones. And I say good ones because I know that most of them was following false gods at this time. But there were some that had God in their heart. And they needed repentance. They needed a change in their heart. Sometimes all we need for a little repentance in our heart is see the move of God. When you're kind of drifting away, you're slipping back. You're just not up to par where you used to be with God. And it comes really slow, and that's what was going on in Israel. It didn't all happen at once. Remember Solomon? How much Solomon loved God and he prayed for wisdom? And God gave him what he prayed for. He blessed him for what he didn't pray for. You ever seen that? You have seen that in your life. What's it like to pray and God answer your prayer? What's it like to not pray and God answers your prayer before you ever say it? You've seen that happen. What a neat thing to follow God. When he says, my precious child, take my hand and go with me. Follow me. Listen to me. Pay attention. My mama used to tell me all the time, Jimmy, focus, son. Take me by the chin like that. Sometimes she'd just get in front of my face and tell me, are you listening to what I'm telling you? Yes, mama, I hear you. What did I just say? Makes me think of being married. Your wife does that to you guys all the time, doesn't she? Are you listening to me? Yes, I'm listening. A few minutes later, she'll say, what did I just say? You don't have a clue. Why? You weren't listening. Good example for us. God says, listen to what I'm telling you. I want you to know this. In Elisha's heart, in God's heart, he wants us to see him. He wants us to know him. And so my question to you today is, how does he reveal himself to us? Watch what he did as he gathered all these people there on Mount Carmel. He says, make up your mind. If the Lord is God, follow him. If Baal is your God, follow him. No one answered. Wasn't a word said anywhere. No one wanted to make that choice because they're too used to the king and his wife, Jezebel, leading them astray. So, that's what they did. What did they did? They did nothing. They said nothing. They were frightened. They had been slipping away from God and didn't have that courage they needed. When God gives you an assignment and you're a little bit afraid to do it. When someone asks you to pray and you're afraid to do that, you're kind of slipping away. The first sign that Satan's got a hold on you is when you stop praying. You stop reading your Bible. Next thing you do, you don't even want to hang out with your Christian friends anymore. You don't want to go to church no more. Folks, these are just signs, and this is what was happening in Israel. They were slipping away from God. Call on your God, the one who answers by fire, while he's God. Elijah tells Baal's prophets, go prepare your altar. So they made their altar. They stacked wood on it. They cut up a sacrifice, a bull, if you would. They had the choice. the bull they wanted. Now, I'm you can just run to those verses there if you'd like. I'm not going to, you can read them, but I'm just going to tell you what they say, okay? Verse 26 through 29, God called, Elijah says, call on your God. So they did. They called from early in the morning till noon. Guess what they got? No answer. No voice. Nothing. Just what you hear and hear. Silence. No God. How many gods are there anyhow? They give them a choice. Are you going to serve the real, true, and living God, or you won't Baal? Is there a real Baal God? Tell me, yes or no. Say it. Yes. Say no. It's okay. It's okay. Say no. One more time. No, there isn't. No. There is, listen, there is no other God. There are religions who would like to make you think that there is. That's why there was silence. They was calling. As a matter of fact, if you'd watch them, they cried. They cried so loud. They danced. They jumped. They called out. Nothing. Elijah got involved with them, and he said, hey, you guys have been calling on your God since early this morning. Here it is, noontime. Maybe, just maybe, he's meditating. Maybe he's busy doing something else. Maybe he's on a trip somewhere. Maybe he's taking a nap. So what you need to do is he can't hear you because he's moving around and he's too busy for you. You need to call louder. There's Elijah. He was just having fun with this. Why was he having so much fun? Because he knew by faith his God lives. And he knew by faith there was no other God. You can cry and you can dance and you can cut yourself, but there is no other God to listen to you. So they cried louder and they jumped and higher and they shouted more. They cut themselves. Nothing. No voice. No answer. Just still nothing. If you called on your God and you prayed and you got nothing, what would you think? If you pray and you pray from morning till noon and from noon till dark and you get no answer, what's wrong? Either there's something not right with you or you turned your face to the wrong God. I'm saying this, please take God by the hand. Know him. Recognize his voice when he speaks. If you call to him and you're getting no answers, there's probably something wrong with you. Because God is real. And if you have your face turned towards the real, the true, and the living God, and he's not answering you, or you're not hearing anything from him, there's some things that separates you from God, where he can't hear you. As you know, one of those is sin. Sin separates us from God. So when there's sin in the way, there's something wrong with me. The other thing that separates God from answering our prayers is simply this. We're not praying. God can't answer if you don't talk to him. He said, listen to what I have to tell you. But talk to me. I want to hear you and let God speak. Elijah came near, says, come near to me. So after they had danced around and it was evening, they got no answer. And they were exhausted from it. Nothing happened. And nothing was going to happen. So they had their altar built. Had the bull on top of it. The idea was this. You call on your God. He's going to bring fire. Light that altar. And burn up that sacrifice that you put on the altar. So they'd done all that. And they never saw a spark of any kind. They never heard anything. So all they wanted. Was a spark. And by the way, their God was a fertility God, and he was supposed to be the one that bring the fire down. He's the one that's supposed to bring an answer to all of this. But he didn't show up. So it was so good for Elijah, but he knew it was going to be this way. He was so bold to go before all those prophets. It's like 450 of 800 prophets. Is that true? See that in your Bible? All those prophets and all the Israelites, All those folks ready. Nothing.
Elijah come near, says, come near to me. Elijah prepares the altar and he puts 12 stones. He lays them in a row representing the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all the tribes of Israel. He wants a people to come back to God. They had slipped away. They weren't worshiping the true and living God. And they was afraid to answer when he asked them, who are you going to serve, God or Baal? They said nothing. So Elijah starts preparing his altar. He dug a trench. He put wood on the altar. He poured water on everything. He did it 3 times. Folks, that's faith in God. I mean, if I'm going to ask God to light the fire for me, I'm not going to pour water on the wood. He poured water on everything and dug a trench around it and filled the trench with water. And the offering, he poured water on everything, which is, please note this. Just pause a minute now for station identification, all right? Go to Sunday school next Sunday and get the intensive on this, okay? So Elijah prays. After he got his altar all ready, and everything is soaking wet. And by the way, you know, it hadn't rained in 3 years, and it was so dry in that land. How did that happen? How did he get the water? Up on top of a mountain, Mount Carmel. Well, where did he get that? I wish Brother Tony was here, so I had to pick on Brother John. Where'd that water come from? You ever think about that? Down about 250 feet on top of that mountaintop was some water. And somehow they found that water, and they poured it. Now, I'm not a Bible scholar, and so I might need to do a little more research on that, but I'm telling you, if God said God's word said they poured water on that altar, what do you think they did? We want to see God work. And so Elisha wanted no doubt about what God was about to do. He wanted no doubt in their mind who their God was and what he was capable of. And so he doused that thing with water real good. And by the way, Brother John, I'll give you a chance to answer. We have to do some study on that one. Where did that water come from on the top of that mountain when it hadn't rained in 3 years? A lot of buckets. Yeah, a lot of walking. They had to listen. If God says it can happen, I guess you guys just believe him. So anyhow, Elijah prays. Guys, there's the answer right there. Elijah prays. God says, take my hand. Take my hand and listen to me. Follow me. Go with me. Let's talk. Let me listen to what's on your mind. Remember I told Solomon, ask him whatever you want, and I'll give it to you. I'm going to ask you guys the same question again. What are you asking God for? What are you praying about? What are you praying about that only God can do? Not what you can do, what you know can happen. I'm asking you to be bold and courageous like Elisha was. And he asked God for something that was impossible to do. And that's to light a fire under an altar that was soaking wet. I can't even get wet wood to light without some kind of aid. And here he's saying, I'm trusting God to do this. I'm asking you this. Listen carefully. What are you praying about that only God can do? When you pray about something that only God can do, what you get next is what he can do. So watch for that. And you'll see what God can do. Church, what are we praying together about that only God can do? Now, I'm going to answer for you because I'm assuming that you're already doing it and you know the answer. What are you and I praying for together that only God can do? That is, number one, he can send us the pastor that he wants to pastor Oakcrest Baptist Church. Amen? Yes, and you keep praying about that, and you ask him, how long are you willing to wait for God to answer that prayer?
It doesn't matter how long you have to wait. What matters is that you follow the will of God and let Him lead you, guide you at Oak Crest Baptist Church to send to you the pastor that you need. And by the way, I want to ask you and encourage you to continue to pray for Brother Tony and his new ministry. But I also want to ask you to continue to pray for Brother John, because Brother John is our next pastor in line of leadership. And so he has his plate full, whether you realize it or not. It isn't so easy for him anymore. Not that it was even easier before, but he's got a lot on his plate now. So would you please include such a great guy as our brother John in your prayer life as he leads Oak Crest Baptist Church at this time. But also, there's another request that we have besides praying for our pastor and pastors, okay? And that secondly is finances. Look at your bulletin. We're praying about something only God can do. Is the finances down a little bit? Not alarmingly, but it's something that we want to ask you to pray about. And I believe Brother John asked you to do that in prayer meeting. So, oh, wow, everything's going bad. Our work and our ministry doesn't depend upon money. What does it depend upon? The one that we talk to in prayer. That's what it depends upon. So we want to see what only God can do at Oak Crest Baptist Church. We pray individually in our own prayer life, but we pray together as a group for what only God can do. Let's pray. I'm not done. I'm just praying, okay? Let's pray. Father, we come before you as a team, as a church, and we ask you to bless Oak Crest Baptist Church finances, that they'll always remain good. And our givers won't give to designated places. They won't send their money to other places till we get a pastor. But they will commit to you and to this, your church. May I ask you to bless this church and hear our prayers as we ask for you to send to this church the pastor you want to lead this flock. So please, God, send us your pastor. And bless the team that is presently working, and give them the strength, the stamina, the wisdom they need to lead this place. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I just wanted to make sure we're together watching what only God can do. So now we're going to watch Elijah in his prayer life, and I'm almost done, okay? So Elijah prayed, "Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel." So if you would, when you go to Sunday school, I want you to keynote these two verses that we read. One was verse 21. Now we're going to look at this particular verse, 36 and 37. Let it be known this day. Make up your mind who you're going to serve. All right, that was the first verse we looked at together. And this verse, it says, who are you going to serve? Let it be known this day that you are God. So Elijah's asking God, this is what I want. To see you, God. I want the people to see you, God, and know who you are, what you're capable of doing. And this one more thing I want to ask you, God, in this prayer, that people will know this day you are God in Israel. And I'm going to include in Ocala. Is he God in Ocala? Yes. Am I saying Ocala right? Ocala. And then one more thing I want to ask you, God, if you don't mind. Will you let me add one more thing? He said, God, you know, would say, okay, Elijah, go for it. I am your servant. These people need to know I'm not doing this. I have nothing to do. This is not a competition between me and these prophets. God, I know who you are. But I want them to know that I am your servant. And I want them to know who you are. So God, it looks like something needs to happen. I need a little spark or something to get the fire going so they will know who you are. Let people know that. So the fire fell. You believe the fire fell? Yeah, it did. What did it do? Well, I understand that it consumed the sacrifice. It burned up the wood. It melted the stone. Took away the dust and lapped up all the water. The only thing left was a hole in the ground. Did God light the fire? Hey, you think he lit the fire? Let me show you something. Did he light the fire in your soul? Yes. I want to ask you a question. If that was Elijah's prayer, what was it Elijah wanted? What would he praying about? He's saying to a people, you need to make up your mind who you're going to serve. Commit to him, giving you all. Commit to God. Focus on him. If you focus on him, you will say yes to him every time. He said, my precious child, give me your hand. Let's take a walk and listen to what he's got to tell you. He'll say, let's take a walk. Oh, yeah, don't forget your Bible. Bring that when you come. I couldn't talk to you if you didn't bring that. So we get somewhere and he says, now be still a minute. Oh, wait till you guys get to the next chapter in 1 Kings chapter 19. I can't wait for you guys to get there when God reveals himself again to Elijah, when Elijah thinks he's almost done and he has no more tomorrows before. You ever felt that, like that? I just think my tomorrows are almost done and I have no more time. Well, if you haven't thought that, when you get my age, you start thinking about it. Lord, my tomorrows are getting short. When your tomorrows get short, you get to walking with God and thinking. Elijah had to meet with God, and he met him in a quiet place on a mountain somewhere. It might have been Carmel, but he caused a big storm to happen. And that storm and wind was so strong, it caused the rocks to come loose from the mountainside. An awful thing happened. Then it stopped. And then there was an earthquake. And that mountain just went shaking. And you all you could want to do is get off the top of that before it come loose and fail. And I mean, it was such a roaring earthquake. How long do the earthquakes really last? Well, if you ever was in one of them, I would suspect they don't last very long. If they did, there'd be nothing left. But so I'm saying a few seconds, sometimes a minute or two would be the longest. And it stopped. Nothing. And then a fire erupted up, and then a fire just burned and burned, and it was, and he was listening for God, and nothing. The fire quit burning, and everything just got quiet. Nothing. Listen. That's when he speaks. Not in the storm, not in the earthquake, not in the fire. In your silence, he speaks to you. His purpose in life was, Elijah was not to draw a crowd, but to do the will of God. He wanted to see Israel come back to God. Who is it you want to see come back to God? Please do this. Be bold enough to call their name out loud to God and talk to him about it. Go ahead and call out to him on behalf of someone. There was a time when God told Elijah, be still. During Elijah's still time, God was very busy. With one hand, he held back the rain. With the other hand, he blistered the land until the people were broken and contrite in heart. The power of God is seen when Elijah prayed, the fire fell. When Elijah prayed again, the rain fell. Why? Because he had faith, trusted God, and what only he can do. The Bible tells us after this prayer time that Elijah had there, people to see God, they did. And they called out, the Lord, he is God. That person you're praying for to be saved in the quietness, you'll hear him one day say, I did. I called out to God. Elijah served God well. He was obedient. He was bold, face to face with King Ahab and whoever was around him. All his leaders. He went straight to the cause of the problem. How long? How long will a people waver? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Now what is it would be a Baal today in America? How many gods do we serve here anyhow? Well, I don't know. I'll just give you a couple and quit. Wealth, prestige, comfort, entertainment, power, self, all that goes on and on. Yes, that's a God. Whatever you put before God is a God. He, Elijah, was a rod in God's hand. He proclaimed the word and it became judgment on the unrighteous. Friends, I'll tell you guys, you know the Lord. And you are going to become a rod in God's hand, just your presence. And you wonder why your friends don't want to be around you sometimes. Because you're a rod in God's hand and you put them under conviction. And they don't like being around you for that reason. Take your Bible, if you can, and turn with me to Galatians, and I'm going to close that. I think we're going to be able to have this on handwriting on the wall in Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to ask you to go to verse 22. Brother Aaron has already read for you. We'll see this. I want to show what happens when the Spirit of God moves into your heart. I've asked God this same prayer that Elijah had, but I'm asking about you guys. That you would see and know God in a way you've never seen Him or known Him before. And if you want to do that, first of all, you've got to talk to Him in prayer. And you've got to ask for something that only God can do. If you don't do that, you won't ever see Him and you won't know Him differently than you know Him now. Matter of fact, you won't even know Him if you don't pray and know Him in His Word. But pray and ask something different than you've ever prayed for before. Matter of fact, it needs to be something that only God can do. Together as a church family, we need to pray and ask that. What is it that only God can do? What do you need? What do you like to see? So once that happens, once a person is prayed for and he trusts Christ as his Lord and Savior, that is a sign that God is moving and working. Once that happens, you have prayed for him. Now you open your spiritual eye. When he gets saved, and when somebody tells you that person just got saved, what's that going to do for you? It's going to move you inside, and you will see where your God worked and moved because of your trust by faith and your boldness and your courage to tell him about the Savior. And when you did, you told him what to pray, and then he did it. And once you find that, just something tears loose inside of you. And when you hear that, you just shout a big old, Amen, on the inside. True? Sometimes when we're in church and somebody gets saved or we hear that someone just got saved and was baptized, on the inside, that's what I do. Amen all inside. You ever done that? Because someone just got saved and God got glorified and he was revealed to someone and their life was changed forever and ever. That's what the Spirit of God does when he moves in. But there's some more things that he does. See, that's the gift of the Spirit. What is the gift of the Spirit? When you got saved, the Spirit of God moved into you. And John chapter 3 says you were born again. Born again, there's really been a change in me. I'm glad, so glad that I've been born again. Whew. So, look at this verse 22. It's on the board. You can see that. But the fruit of the Spirit, now I am saved, been born again. What's the Spirit of God that lives in me? Looks what He produces in me so I can know Him. Know Him, I can see Him and I can experience Him. This is going on in me. It's going on in you. Watch this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Hey, who do you love? How much love comes out of you if someone's around you? Let me get really personal with you. If the Spirit of God is alive in you, if I go to your house and I ask your kids, how much love do you see in your family for you? For your mama, for your daddy. See, once the Spirit of God gets alive in me, I'm changing because the Spirit of God is alive in me. And the first thing He does is produce love in me. And from love comes the rest of these. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, and from love comes joy. I see a lot of happiness. Sometimes my family just break loose and sing a song together. Will they break loose and do something together? I hope it's a song. They might just do a praise to God for something He did. They will praise Him. Just tear loose and praise Him. It's a joyful thing. A joy of the Lord. And then a peace comes over me. So I just found out that Aunt Bertha is really sick. And I pray. And when I pray for Aunt Bertha, a peace comes over me. Why? Because the Spirit of God lives within me. Folks, when that happens to you, He, Christ, is alive in you. How do you know He lives? Do you need a mountaintop experience to know that God is alive? Just be still and you will hear Him. You will see Him. He's very much alive in you. Okay, so the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace, long-suffering. What's that mean? I find myself more patient with people than I ever was. Did I ever make a boo-boo? Oh, yes. But patience is a good thing in me. And it's a whole lot better when it's in you for me. Is that true? Don't you just love to meet a patient person when you're impatient? When you're in the restaurant and you're starving to death hungry and it seems like it's taking forever for that waitress to get that groceries to you on your table? If there's ever time in your life you need to pray for patience, it's now. Because you're about to reveal who Christ is to them. Elijah prayed, God, these people are, they've turned into a bunch of heathens. They need to see you, what only you can do, and you need to light this fire. God, I'm hungry. And you don't know how grouchy I am when I get hungry. Oh, my wife and kids know that. I'm hungry, so you need to work in me and feed me something here where my patience will kick in and I'll be patient. So you do this, guys, my favorite thing. I know that waitress has got a lot on her mind and a lot of people she's trying to serve, but I have no idea and no clue what she's dealing with when she gets home. She's got a husband like acting like most of these people in this restaurant. Well, I don't know if they're being good to her that day or not. If they're being good to her, that's a good thing. If they're not being good to her, maybe your husband is. I don't know what she's going through. Please do this. The Spirit of God offers these gifts. When you get Jesus, listen, when you got saved and you got Jesus, you got every one of these. Don't tell me you can't have patience. You have patience. You just got to let Jesus come alive in you. Turn it loose and let it work in you. All of this lives in your heart. All of what? But the fruit of the Spirit of God lives in you. He moved in when you got saved. When you were born again, the Spirit of God came in you and He brought this with Him. What did He bring with you? All this. He brought love, He brought joy, He brought peace, He brought long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, faithful unto God, gentleness. We call it meekness sometimes. Meekness is taken, means power in control. I'm learning. It's like wisdom and knowledge. I know what to do, and I take wisdom, and it tells me how to use what I know to do. That's wisdom. And this is the same thing, meekness. Gentleness is taking what I have and the responsibilities I have and use them right. Be gentle with people. But hey, if this world didn't have people in it, wouldn't it be so much easier? It's that true. But you're here, so my life is harder. We got to learn to let the Spirit of God who lives within us, which is be gentle with people. Be gentle with your family. Be gentle at work. Be gentle with your children. Teach them. Don't get after them from playing out there on the road if you never told them not to play on the road. Go tell them. Call them in. Come in. Listen to me. Don't play on the road. You play on the road, we're going to the woodshed. Simple as that. If they still play on the road, you told them you're going to the woodshed, what do you do next? Go to the woodshed. If you tell them you're going to the woodshed, you don't go to the woodshed, whatever your woodshed is. Take them. If you don't do it, they're not going to pay any attention to you. Put gold in the bank. That's free. Self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, okay? So let us do that. If we're going to walk with Jesus, take Him by the hand, walk with Him, Lord, please hear our prayers today. Help us know you. Help us walk with you. Let us pay attention to what you're telling us always. I want to know you. I want this church to know you like they've never known you before. And so you give me a privilege to say that to them today, and I thank you. I need to know you more and more all the time, and they do. Together, we want to see something happen that only you can do. So we're asking you, dear God, to give us a vision through our personal life of the Spirit that lives within us. If we need one of these gifts to come alive even today, gentleness, self-control, patience, meekness, love, joy, peace, come alive in us. Let us see you. And then, God, let others see you in me, in us, at Oak Crest Baptist Church. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.